what makes us stand out from any of our competitors? Why would anyone call us versus calling, you know, their referral friend from, you know, their neighbor?
Hello and welcome to episode 92 of the Smart Agents Podcast. My name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. On today's episode, we are joined by real estate agent Ryan Waller. Based just outside of Toronto, Ryan spent more than 20 years in the corporate marketing world with companies such as Kimberly-Clark and Nestle. Now in real estate, Ryan is drawing on his marketing background to establish a name for himself in his market. Throughout our conversation, we talk all about creating your unique selling proposition and how to effectively run brand awareness campaign versus niche-specific marketing. Now, before we get on to the day's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an awesome story or tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Ryan Waller. I really had a great time hearing all the ways he and his wife are getting recognized in their market, including having a locally produced beer named after them. Yeah, so the way I like to start everything out is if you could introduce yourself to us a little bit, where you're at, and kind of how you got into the real estate industry.
Sure. So I'm Ryan Waller, and I work with my wife, Beth. We're both realtors just outside of Toronto, Canada, in a city called Guelph. And our city has about 140,000 people in it. And we're considered part of the greater Toronto area. So we're an extension of the city itself. And I've been in real estate since 2015. Beth joined us in 2018 or 2019. And so we've been able to build a business with the two of us together under one household. I got into real estate in 2015, partially because I was interested in investment properties, and we had a number of them at the time. But prior to getting into real estate, I had a corporate career of about 20 years or so, and I worked in advertising agencies, large consumer packaged goods companies. So I worked for Kimberly-Clark. I did a lot of marketing with Emma Huggies and Kleenex and all those sorts of brands. And then into Nestle was where I finished my corporate career before getting into real estate full-time. I was with them for 10 years in sales management positions. So an interesting portfolio of products, Perrier, San Pellegrino, and more of the beverage division. So a lot of fun.
Right. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, making that transition into real estate, the advertising and the marketing is something that you had great experience in.
Yeah. And I think it was from my perspective, you know, looking back on it now, it was sort of going from a sales role, getting a marketing and advertising background, and then having a sales role at the end where I left. Those things were key to success early on in real estate, just getting started with understanding how advertising works, understanding how marketing works, and branding itself, which is obviously in real estate a very, very important thing. So I do feel like I had a bit of a competitive advantage that way. I was still in, I was still in advertising and marketing and sales in a way in real estate, but just a different industry. And I applied many things from the corporate world into real estate.
Right. So, you know, as you were getting started, how did you kind of market yourself and get yourself out there as a new agent in your market, you know, in the area?
Yeah. And it's something we get asked, a lot, how we manage to figure some of the marketing out. And I think part of the most important thing to us when we got started was having a unique selling proposition, what they call a USP from a marketing perspective. And a USP is something that differentiates you. So in a market like ours, where we have at any given time, 700 real estate agents in our own market. What makes us stand out from any of our competitors? Why would anyone call us versus calling, you know, their referral friend from, you know, their neighbor? And from our perspective, the unique selling proposition we used was becoming a market authority, becoming an unbiased authority that people could trust to get answers on the market without feeling pressured to buy something or to sell something or to being sold to. And it was going to take time to do it, but we wanted to find ways that people would start to trust us and start to look to us and get it so that they would want to call us to help them buy or sell a house, as opposed to us using lead generation systems or having to cold call people or do whatever. And it worked out well. I mean, it's one of the first things we did was go to our local media and say, hey, look, we'll provide you with monthly updates on the real estate market in our city. Just give us a space to do it. And they didn't have anybody doing that. And they were just so used to the real estate board facts of, you know, the average price of a house in this town sold for X. It was on the market X number of days. And that stuff, people over time are just not interested in that stuff. And they just gloss over it. And so what we did is we took the information and sliced it and diced it in different ways with the data. We gave information on neighborhoods. We gave information on the average cost per square foot. We gave a breakdown of the average price points in town and if some were selling faster than others, and really made it about breaking down the data into a more user-friendly way so that the average person can understand it and relate to it. And it worked. It worked very quickly. And it worked. It was very successful in that we had people calling all the time asking, tell me more about my neighborhood, or I didn't know this, or I didn't know that, or do you have a newsletter I can subscribe to, or can we work with you? We feel like we can trust you. So.
Right. So what specific media outlets did you go after? Because I think that's a really smart way to do things, because it immediately puts you up in this, you know, authority pedestal, really.
Yeah. And that was it. And some of it was a bit faked. I mean, we were relatively new to the business of real estate. But I mean, I knew for many years in sales that, you know, if you could come across as a market authority, in many cases, the brands that I represented at Kimberly-Clark, you know, Huggies or Kleenex or Nestle, you know, Perrier, those brands were number one and we were the market authority. And so those retailers that we sold to always depended on us to come in and give a market authority. So we were sort of faking it in a way that we were new to the market, but we knew how to sell to the market. We knew what people were looking for. And so the media outlets we went to, the main one was our city doesn't have a physical newspaper anymore. They have an online publication for the news, and all the news is, you know, at thewebsite.com. And so the idea around is that we would post once a month, giving an update on the local real estate market or giving some sort of information. They gave us free rein on what the content was going to be. They just wanted to proofread it. So it was a lot of data that we had to put together to provide insights. We had to source it properly, obviously. So that was one of them. The other one was that we then got on the local radio station. Our city has an AM and an FM station, and we got on there and we talked about how people should be looking for our articles that we were going to write in the online publication. And, you know, we were giving facts and insights and figures and info that would be interesting to people. And I think in our town of 140,000, if you can get in the main news publication and on the local radio station, it certainly builds up market authority pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling you before we started recording, my previous life, I was a news video journalist, and I had the business cards of two local agents that when anything real estate came up, those were the two that I called, and they were on all the time, and they got a ton of business just from, you know, from people seeing them on our station.
Yeah. And we do get that. I mean, we've had a number of calls. I mean, that would be the free PR element of it, which is a whole other aspect, which, I mean, you can't even, the average realtor, I mean, if you're looking for a unique selling proposition, the average realtor has no exposure to that PR. And it's only because of the things you said. I mean, you know, we've had the Canada's main news publication, our national publication, they had a feature and we were in it. They called us because they had seen our name around real estate and that sort of thing. And we've been quoted in articles by the national newspapers about local market real estate and that sort of thing. You can't buy that stuff. And it's been very helpful because they feel like they can trust us because they've seen some of the things we've been writing. So it's not quick. If we do talk to other realtors or give advice to other realtors, it's not something that you can do overnight. It does take time and it's a brand that you have to build. But if you're consistent with it and you continue to think about what consumers want, you'll be successful that way.
Right. But that, you know, then that kind of leads right into the next thing is where, when it that kind of that brand awareness type marketing, you know, the return on investment is a little bit longer, but that's all part of that treating your real estate business as a real business.
As a business. Yeah, that's right. And I think that, you know, many times we talk to people about getting into real estate and they watch, you know, some of the reality shows about, you know, about real estate and believe that it's all glitz and glam and selling $30 million homes in LA. And it's not, it's absolutely not at all. And, you know, it, you have to treat it as you are a small business and you have expenses and you have a marketing budget and you have, you know, day-to-day expenses of driving a car or being in an office or brokerage fees or whatever. And you have to be able to figure out how you can run that business in a profitable way. And there are some things that are not profitable and you shouldn't be doing. There are other things that are not profitable and maybe are investing in your business long-term. But you have to make those decisions. And, you know, we take, from our perspective, one of the things I learned many years ago in sales is that as your business grows, you should have a percentage of your business that's always allocated to marketing. And as your business grows, let's say that it's 10% in year one, well, it should also be 10% in year 10. And as your business grows, that budget gets bigger and you continue to grow your business. But trying to maintain it as a percentage of your business, or trying to make sure that you maintain specific margins in your business or profit margins that you maintain over time and that you try to protect, because that's how you grow a sustainable business over time. And I think there are many realtors who get into this business and are fearful to market themselves because they fear it's just an expense and there's no return on it, as you mentioned. But some of the marketing, yeah, there's no immediate return, but it's tough to put the value on return on investment of a long-term brand, which people will buy and they'll never know how, you'll never know how they found you. Right. They'll never even remember. Maybe they saw you in two or three different places, but they did see your brand. They do remember you. And you just have to be able to justify the spending versus the income. And it is a business. And I think that's, as realtors, many, many realtors don't think of it that way. And if they did, they'd probably be a lot more successful.
Right. And I think that's where, you know, I think in the marketing world, you know, having that understanding between that kind of the brand awareness campaign versus the very targeted, you know, maybe the, you know, the targeted postcard campaign, you know, that you know, you're targeting a very specific, you know, understanding the differences in those returns.
That's right. That's a very good point. It's a very different marketing campaign, and real estate, you know, there are some low commission or, you know, brokerages that play purely by the numbers. Outside of those, the day-to-day agent doesn't have a whole lot of compelling value unless they're doing that sort of thing. So you have to be able to, you know, strategically create an element of brand marketing where people don't see anything. There's no value to it. There's nothing besides a call to action or call me now, or when you're selling, call me. But then there's an element of very targeted, specific niche things. I sold a house in your community, you know, and I sold it for X over the asking price in X amount of days, and I'd be a great choice, or we offer staging as part of our commission, or those sorts of things that add value. They are very different. And I think from a marketing perspective, you have to accept and wrap your head around the fact that some of them aren't going to get you business right away. It's more of a long-term play, which is the branding element. And they should be treated very differently, but you also have to be very consistent with that message. And you can't do it for 2 weeks and then call it quits. If you're going to commit, you're going to commit.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, you know, with those different styles of marketing, what are some of those key, you know, the KPIs, those key performance indicators? What are you really looking at to determine if things are working? And understanding that the brand awareness is not something that you're necessarily going to be able to.
So from our perspective, as I mentioned, we take a percentage of our income. It's 15%, and we reinvest that in the business. And so we take that money, and under the umbrella of the 15%, we do 10 different things, let's say, as an example. And we take those 10 things and divide the money up into how we think we should spend it. And we run with that. And we don't take any one specific item and say, I'm on a bus bench and I need that one item to give me, you know, pay for itself five times over, else I'm not doing that again. We take a look at the portfolio as a in totality and say, of the 15%, we review it after year one and say, okay, of the 15% that we had, are there any clear winners in this? Are there any clear losers in this? And if we find there are clear winners, so for example, a clear winner for us last year, because so many people were coming from Toronto, a higher price market, out into the burbs where we were, like many cities, big cities, we invested heavily in Google Ads, targeted to Toronto. And we found that a lot of people were calling us because of the Google Ads. They were great return on investment. we did other things like a print magazine that really, with the pandemic, it was scattered distribution. People just weren't reading it. And it was poor. So what we did this year was we invested a little bit more in the Google ads and got out of the print. And the message that we have for anybody, any realtor looking to determine marketing return on investment or just overall returns, is that don't look at one item in isolation. Develop a plan that you think is going to meet your target demographic or your target market and revise it. Accept the fact that some things are going to work and some things aren't going to work, but it's a package deal. And slot in one thing, slot out another thing, but you should be investing and consistent with a certain percentage of your business going back into marketing all the time.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, and especially when it comes to like the, if you're doing any kind of like Facebook marketing, or it's really, you know, determining, don't just totally like wipe something out because it didn't work over 2 weeks, you know, see what isn't working. Test, you know, the copy in it, test the images. Yep. and really yep. kind of see what's turning people off if it's not working.
Yeah, that's right. And we, in our local market, are sort of our biggest investment that we have as a percentage is radio advertising. And, you know, sometimes people will call you out of the blue and say, I heard your ad on the radio, but very, very rarely do people call me and say, Ryan, I heard you on the radio and I want you to sell my house. It doesn't happen like that. And so it's testing the copy, like you said, it's testing time slots, or maybe you're running a 30-second commercial and it should actually only be 15 because people are bored. Maybe it's just the creative is wrong. Maybe there's any number of reasons. Maybe you're on the wrong format of a station and your demographic is actually not listening to oldies and you need to change that up. But it takes time, and these things take time, and you have to be consistent with it, and you have to accept the fact that maybe someone is coming to you because they heard you on the radio, but they also saw your postcard and they also saw your Facebook ad. And it's the combination of those three things. They can't even remember where, but they saw you there and there and there. And together, those things reminded them that when they needed a realtor, they call you.
Right. So, you know, we've talked about the more traditional marketing routes, you know, the media, but something that really kind of caught my eye was this, this beer and this partnership that you have with this brewery. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we, Beth and I do a lot of local marketing. And one of our key things that it's very important to us, is supporting local, especially during the whole pandemic. It was very important. We had a lot of small businesses that needed help. And so we were very vocal about, you know, we donated a lot of our radio airtime to local businesses to help them out. We participate in a lot of charitable events around town. And we had a call in January from one of the, our town has four sort of micro craft breweries. And we had a call from one of them in January and said, look, we're struggling a bit through the pandemic and we're being, you know, beat down a little bit and we need a bit of help. We're opening up a restaurant next door to our brewery. And we're hoping that maybe you can meet with us and talk to us about some marketing and maybe there's something we can do together. And so I thought, oh man, that's great. I'd love to talk to a brewery about creating a beer. That's like a dream for many people. Oh, sure. Let's talk about that. So we went to the brewery and talked to them about what we could do and some ideas. And some of the ideas they had were maybe about, you know, putting gift cards into gift baskets or doing things like that. And we thought about it and thought, you know, that's pretty small scale. You know, their objectives, we were trying to figure out what their objectives were. And their objectives were to get people into this new restaurant when it opens. And so we thought, well, what if we created a beer that was for Beth and I, it had us on it. And we would be able to use our marketing to drive people to your brewery to get the beer. And we can help you. We'll give you our marketing at no cost to you. You give us a beer and we'll figure something out between us. And it went back and forth on the creative for a couple of months because it was something that they're not familiar with and it's new to us as well. But we turned it around and it's a beer we've named Beth and Ryan's Local. It's made by a local brewery called Royal City Brewery here in Guelph. And it's been launching. We're just about to launch. Restaurants almost done. Local restaurants have picked up on it. They serve it on tap in the restaurants. And so it's become this supporting local on more of a larger scale, even. Local restaurants are taking part in it. It's become more of an event where all of these people are integrating their different marketing efforts into one campaign of selling some beer, which is kind of fun, you know, especially here in Canada where we have 3 or 4 months of, you know, real nice weather. It's an important thing, and it really hits home with our message of supporting local and just a fun way to do something different.
Right. I think that's such a really, it's a great way to build up your market share also is by being an advocate for your local market and being really involved in the community.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, there's a lot of times that we find that it's easy to say you support local, but not really doing anything about it or like doing very minor things to it. But this really, from our perspective, emphasizes that we are doing something local. And one of the things I learned many years ago is that when you're doing something, you have to do something. If you're doing something you're proud of, you can do it, but you can also, it's okay to tell people that you're doing it. And so one of our radio ads in the coming months will be talking about that we are supporting local and, hey, we have this new beer that we're excited about. And you know, it's like a humble brag in a way. It's like, we've got this great new cool beer, but at the same time, hey, we're also helping out local restaurants and local breweries as well. And it's a cool thing. And I think that it's okay to do that sort of thing every once in a while. You have to be comfortable with it.
Right. So kind of, you know, moving a little bit on from the marketing to the actual, you know, providing of the service, how are you demonstrating those things that you are marketing to combat, you know, any commission, you know, any of those objections that people might have, especially when it comes up with, you know, the commissions?
Yeah. So the standard commission rate here is in our market is 5%. 2.5% to the buying agent and 2.5% to the selling agent or listing agent. And from our perspective, one of the main things we try to talk about is adding value to the transaction. So it's easy for anyone, and I learned this many years ago in consumer packaged goods, it's easy to just drop your price to try to get business. But unfortunately, you know, if you're going to drop your price so easily, your client may wonder how well you're going to negotiate for them if you can just drop your commission without even debate about it. But at the same time, we try to say to our clients, you are going to get this, 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 and this from our commission. So we include staging, we include professional photography. If they have a lot of things they need to clean out, we order a dumpster for them. We order a storage bin for them, a portable storage bin if they need that sort of thing. And our service includes everything. So there are a bunch of additional expenses if the client needs it that we're willing to pay for, but we don't offer to discount our service as a result of getting the business. And it has cost us in some cases where we have a client who just is determined to save money on the listing commission. It's cost us business for sure. However, there's been a number of occasions where we've actually won business despite the fact that we were a higher commission than others, because they felt like what they were getting out of it was going to get them a better end result on the sale price. So the amount that they would be saving in commission is more than made up on the back end, and which is the most important thing, which is in their pocket at the end of the day when the transaction closes. And you know, one of the things we talk about, in fact, we have a new radio ad coming out today that talks about how we've sold every home we've ever listed. We've never had a canceled listing on us because we are realistic with our pricing. We have a strategy. We have a plan in place. We stage our clients' houses. They look great. We get the job done. So it comes down to showing your value and demonstrating your value and having confidence in your value and not feeling like, not making your clients feel like you're desperate for business, because they can sense it.
Right. Well, and you know, that seems like it's kind of like one of those themes that's kind of come up a couple of times is that, you know, be okay with showing your successes and showing what you're doing. It's not something you need to hide from.
No. And I think there's a way to do it that you're not being obnoxious. There's a way to be confident about it. And it's something I struggled with for many years getting into sales. And I think it's something that new realtors have to become comfortable with over time, is that it's okay to talk about your successes. It's okay to tell people that you are successful and that they should work with you because of that. And they can be part of that and without being obnoxious. And there is a fine line between the two. And I would hope that newer agents would try to find that, because it is a really important thing in this business to show that any business where you're offering a service, that you are good at what you do and people should work with you because of that.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. What's, you know, so you've had a lot of, I mean, great success in a relatively short amount of time. What's the, you know, the next couple, you know, the rest of this year looking like, and you know, what are the plans going forward?
Well, that's a good question. We struggle with this because it's it's something we try to plan out, but we also realize that. So we this year we added the third person to our team. We were growing and we needed some help. Beth and I have three daughters, and so we want to spend family time too. And so the idea around it was to get a buying agent to help us out on some of the showings that they could do, so it would take less time away from our house for us. And that has been going well. And I think probably the next step is to expand that and maybe have another agent or two added to our team to further help us with that. But the other thing is, you know, we're starting to notice some of these big, big, big teams that have lost focus on who they really are and what they really do well. And from our perspective, we brand ourselves, I think, very successfully as a husband and wife in our city. And someone who calls our cell phone and talks to us directly. And we don't want to lose that. And I think when you get to the point where you're too big, you might get to the point where you lose that down to earth direct contact. And so we're trying to balance this fine line of having a successful growing business, but also being true to who we are, which is dealing with things on our own.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a really good, you know, I've talked to several people that have the, you know, the smaller, the teams, but they're very successful. And it is understanding like what's too big, what is too much to where it takes away from what makes us unique.
Right. And we are comfortable in, you know, our lives, our work-life balance and our earnings that we don't need to be much bigger than we are, but we need to do what we're doing really well. And we just need to continue at that pace. So it's a good question in that, you know, looking 3 to 5 years down the road, it's probably going to be a variation of what we're doing now. I mean, I hope it is anyways, and just continue on this path. But yeah, don't lose focus of what you really are, because that could be real. I could have a real big impact on your business.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I want to thank Ryan for taking the time to talk with us today and sharing all of his great advice for building long-lasting brand awareness. In today's real estate landscape, I think it's vitally important for buyers and sellers to be able to connect with you well before ever actually having a conversation. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an awesome story or tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.